Right along, item five, Matthews Land Conservancy. Sounds familiar.
Wetlands portion, anyway. Matthews Land Conservancy is requesting authorization to install an observation deck encroaching over 914 square feet in the state-owned Sevaquis bottom. Install two 16-foot wide floating piers extending 103 feet channelward of the observation deck, and install an 8-foot wide open pile pier extending 62 feet channelward from an existing bulkhead with a 14-foot wide by 100-foot long T-head deck along the East River at 1039 Williams Wharf Road, Matthews County. The project is protested by numerous residents of Matthews County. The project area is located in the county of Matthews. Just to orient yourself, this is the James River, York River, and Mobjack Bay. And the project itself is located on the East River, which is a tributary to Mobjack Bay. The green pointer you see pointing here is actually pointing to the project site, Williams Wharf, which is a small peninsula that kind of sticks out into the river itself. This is an aerial of the project area. As you can see here, we actually have one of the racing events going on in this aerial, so you can get an idea of the racing shells, how they're currently being launched from the facility, the number of vessels that can be at these events, and a fair number, good idea of the number of people that attend these events. This is an existing conditions of the site right now. Currently, there are four piers, these two here, this third and this fourth pier, that are slated to be demolished to make room for the three piers that are proposed. And the outline you see here is a building that has already been removed from the project site. The square footage from subaqueous encroachment is 6,005 square feet of these structures that is planned to be removed. This is a proposed plan view drawing for the structures that will encroach over state and bottom. Here's the T-head pier that I referred to a moment ago, the two floating piers, and this small area here is deck space that will encroach out over state and subaqueous bottom. This is the plan view drawing for the T-head pier. Again, it's an 8-foot wide pier that will extend 62 feet channelward to mean low water, which is basically a bulkhead that's outlined in blue here, and the T-head, which is 14 feet by 100 feet. The purpose of this T-head is to allow larger vessels to access the structure because this pier will actually go out into fairly deep water. The total encroachment of this pier is 1,862 square feet. The second portion of this project is to install an observation deck, which is actually associated with the proposed building. The building itself is landward of mean low water, and the only thing you're considering for this portion of the project is this small piece of observation deck here and here, which extend from the building itself. The square footage of this over state and subaqueous bottom is 914 square feet. The outline you see here in blue is mean low water again. In addition to the observation decking, there will be two floating piers, 80 feet long in length, and with two associated 23-foot long foot gangways. The total encroachment over state and bottom will be 3,075 square feet. This is a ground shot showing the old building before it was demolished, looking out towards the water. The new building will be close to the same footprint, but will be quite a bit larger. This is a side view of the old building that was present on site. It was an open pile structure as well. Here you can see that one of the piers is planned to be demolished to make room for the other piers. You can see the end of another pier is planned to be demolished as well. This pier here will also be demolished, and the building will be located in this footprint with the two other piers extending roughly in this position here from the building. Close up of the pier is planned to be demolished. This is looking towards where the T-head pier will extend from the bulkhead. These two piers here and here are planned to be demolished, and the new pier will extend roughly in this general area here. And this is simply looking from the land out towards the water. These two piers, again, will be removed. This is a historical photo of the site. My notes here. Historically, Williams Wharf has been used as a commercial site since the 17th century. Various uses such as ports, customs facility, shipyard, steamboat dock, which I believe is what you see here is a steamboat, seafood wholesale processing, and a public landing as well. More recently, in the 20th century, the facility has also been used as a seafood wholesale, oil terminal, and marine repair facility. 13 letters of protest have been received from 10 people. Most of the comments centered on the impacts of the intertidal area, which were addressed in the wetlands portion of the project, but are also relevant to the subtidal components of this project as well. The main concerns being excessive encroachment over wetlands, that the observation deck is not water-dependent, and the rental of the building associated decking for other non-water-dependent activities. So basically, the building itself will be rented out for various functions, and the protesters are concerned that these functions won't be water-dependent in their nature. Staff is sensitive to the concerns related to water dependency, encroachment of the decking over state-owned subaqueous bottom, and other uses of the structure raised by the protesters. After listening to concerns of the Matthews Local Wetlands Board regarding an effort to minimize encroachment, the applicant submitted revised drawings which depicted the building landward of mean low water and outside of the commission's jurisdiction. However, part of the observation deck that is attached to the building still encroaches over state-owned subaqueous bottom. It is staff's opinion that this deck is somewhat water-dependent in that it allows viewing of racing events and provides access to the building from the building to the two proposed piers. The deck itself will encroach over 914 square feet of subaqueous bottom and will be an open pile design which allows natural tidal flow. Regarding the concerns expressed about rental of the building and deck for other functions not relating to racing events, the applicant has stated that the building will be available for rent approximately 12 times a year. While these rental activities will probably not be water dependent, they are secondary use of the building, and as such, staff feels that they do not alter the primary function of the observation deck. Facilities will also provide some water access to the general public. The three proposed piers were not specifically mentioned in the protest letters. The two piers on the northern side of the peninsula connect to the building and provide access for the racing shells. The third pier, located on the northwestern portion of the project site, provides access to deeper water for large vessels visiting the facility. Considering the primary function of these piers, staff feels that they are appropriate. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the three piers and observation decking as proposed. Staff also recommends the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $5,901 for the encroachment of over 5,901 square feet, state-owned subaqueous bottom, at a rate of $1 per square foot. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing none, thanks, Mike. The applicant wish to be heard? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Lee Stevens. I'm an attorney from Irvington representing, the Matthews Land Conservancy in this, and I appreciate the board's time and will be respectful of it. Obviously, this is a project that you've had a bit of information about it in the past. Today, what we want to talk about is a little bit more of the sort of the big three issues, I suppose, that are considered for any project in and around the water. First is the water dependency issue, of course. We're talking about a facility where people will be racing 65-foot-long shells. They'll be sailing. It's not just a training facility. To the contrary, it's to be a destination where teams from all over the East Coast, even further, will come to race in Matthews up and down the East River. When you do that, and you've seen a great illustration that shows the number of shells that are there, it requires a lot of space. And there are a lot of people there, and it's competition. You've got to have ways for folks to see the people rowing. You've got to have a place for folks to celebrate the winners at the end of it. Again, it's a competition. So the Matthews Land Conservancy is a nonprofit organization set up some 20 years ago specifically to take on this project at this place. It was virtually a hardened peninsula from its years and years of operation. Over the almost 20 years of their taking it, they've tried and have accomplished reducing the impervious surface by something like 25%. Tremendous improvement over time. But it has taken time. It's taken a tremendous amount of effort and grant funds and various things to get it to where it is. I think that the water dependency is very important. They've, as far as measures taken to reduce the detrimental effect, they've moved the building in as far as they can. The size of the building is impacted by these 65-foot long shells. You've got to have space to store them. The corresponding part, which is the common area used for the celebrations, fits that as well. I think that the main thing that we want to talk about today, though, is the public benefit and to really give you all a sense of what all has gone into it. As I mentioned, it is a charity in the first place that is running this thing. They have taken extraordinary steps to make sure that this piece of land that extends into the East River will be kept forever for access to the public. A conservation easement has been placed on it with the county as a holder, with the Middle Peninsula Public Access Authority as a holder. In fact, DCR and the Department of Historic Resources also have interests on this peninsula as conservation easement holders. So the point is, this property is going to be made available to the public forever. With regard to the other public benefit things, the reason for the big pier, among other things, is Godspeed. This is one of her preferred ports. She can come in here. There's enough depth there that she can make up and has done that fairly often. I think that the main benefit that you've really not heard too much about, though, has to do with the public school benefits, the educational aspects of this. So we've got the recreational components from the standpoint of people being able to go there and fish, people, of course, being able to row and sail, and the focus of this property is on non-motorized vessels. But when it comes to the educational benefits, those far exceed what you would probably expect. And we do have a couple of speakers here with the school system and who also have experience with the rowing aspect and the benefits that that brings that I can't even begin to quantify for you. So with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would like to bring up a couple of commentators. Thank you.
Where are you in? You solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Absolutely. Was not expecting that. Well, good morning. My name is Nancy Buckner Welch. I'm the current assistant superintendent with Matthews County Schools, and I'm also a resident of Matthews County. Physical address is 625 Old Auburn Road, North Virginia. At this time, I'd like to give you a brief overview of where the educational project of the Williams Wharf Landing stands at this point in time, but more importantly, share with you our vision for the future. The first page of the handout that you just received gives you an overview of the initial boathouse project, which I understand you are already familiar with, as it relates to education. We envision not only an environmentally responsible building design, but a living laboratory. Both of which our students and our community members will have access to. You may or may not be aware that their state and federal governments have significantly increased the focus on the science, technology, and engineering mathematics, or STEM for short, over the past few years. And this project is a prime opportunity to really expand on that, not only to strengthen our current programs, but also to provide our students with the opportunity to experience the real-time research and projects, versus the plain old simulations that you see in public education today. On page 2, you will begin to see a timeline of specific events, including a value engineering workshop that was conducted last August, a little over a year ago. And this was conducted by a team of Matthews County teachers. The initial outcome supported over 100 student-centered hands-on projects that were centered around the landing in this particular area. And they also correlate with the Virginia Standards of Learning. Now, if you're not a public educator, the Virginia Standards of Learning are the specific skills and processes that we are bound to teach our students by the Code of Virginia. All right. You'll also note on the second page there's a set of business partners that made this study actually possible. Now, during the same time period that this was happening, Matthews County Schools also gained approval from the Virginia Department of Education to offer a new course in the Career and Technology Education Department in Sustainable and Renewable Technologies. And this is directly related to the Boathouse project that we're speaking about. We had two sections offered that year, but more importantly, the teacher who is teaching that class has been invited by the Department of Education to build the second course. All right, so I want to make sure you understand the impact that this project has had, not just on Matthews County, but at the state level, state of Virginia, at the Board of Education. All right, huge, huge impacts on our state courses and curriculum that will be offered statewide. Now, as you work through the next few pages, you're going to see our timelines of partnerships. Some of those include the Tidewater Soil and Water Conservation District, Chesapeake Bay Research Reserve, and so on and so forth there. All of these partnerships they don't only strengthen our students and our school system, but our community as a whole. All right, let's talk about that future piece. We see this Boathouse Commons area being utilized for field research studies by our students, kindergarten through 12th grade, all the way through, running the gamut there. Students who are currently working on a rooftop rainwater recapturing study in the schools will be able to travel to the Boathouse to see a large-scale recapturing system. And they're not only going to have access to the building data on site, but also we're going to have that network link where they can access the data via the Internet. In our school system. We envision submersible cameras. This is a project that I'm working on right now. Subaquatic habitats and the keystone species studies. We are required by the Code of Virginia to teach this. Trying to find a hands-on project for my students has been very difficult because trying to get parent permission to take them underwater is a little difficult. So this is a prime opportunity to come up with a video system underwater. This past summer we had our first Eco Expo on the site and a variety of topics. Your third sheet of paper, the fifth page, will give you those lists of topics. They are directly related to water studies and environmental studies. They had firsthand experience on the designs and effect of water in our environment. I don't have to tell this board about the job market these days in sustainable and renewable technologies. It has exploded over the past few years. I envision the environmental focus studies with the renewable and sustainable technologies, combining the two, so that my students, by the time they hit high school, will have the coursework and the certifications to walk out with a job. All of this is tied to this one project. Sky really is the limit. The most significant impact of this project right now is opportunity. Matthews County is one of only 36 school divisions that's fully accredited in the state because of opportunities we give our students. We had the highest graduation rate in the Commonwealth because of the opportunities we give our students. We have one of the lowest dropout rates, in hindsight, in the Commonwealth because we create opportunities for our students. Now, I know you're already aware that we've been hit with massive budget cuts. All school divisions have across the Commonwealth. Matthews is no different. Our free reduced lunch rate has doubled, and that's huge. My elementary school is now considered, over half of it disadvantaged. Now, what that means is that, there are lots of federal grants out there for rural education, and if you have a large disadvantaged group in your school system, you can get it. Matthews County, because of our proximity to Newport News and Richmond, we can't even apply for this grant because we're too close to the urban areas where we would have access to projects. On the flip side of this, we can't pass on these costs to my parents. They can't afford it. They're barely making it. So with this project we have right here in our backyard, I have the opportunity to provide field experiences for 1,140 students, 200 and some odd teachers in my division, that is low cost, and right there in my backyard. So I thank you for your time, and I appreciate everything that you're doing. You know, from the Godspeed trip coming in, you know, that was 500 students right there, and I'm lucky if I'm able to send less than 100 to, you know, to Jamestown to see them annually. So I appreciate your time. Any questions?
Any questions?
AJ? Yeah, I'm also about. Yes, sir.
I just had a question. You had mentioned it, and in the timeline that you handed out, there was already some interaction that had gone on with students coming down and learning about of the science-based activities. What kind of response have you had from those students in terms of their interest in either marine science or, you know, some of the things that they had observed?
Well, we had some elementary students and middle school students, and we had a group of high school students who were being the leadership team with that. It's an eye-opening experience for them. We have grants where certain populations of our students, maybe one grade level, about 100 students, would have access to the education part as we're required by code, but I can do it with all my kids right now. And they love it. I had students showing up at Ego Expo on jet skis because they look across the water. And how neat is that? They didn't have to take the bus that morning. You know, but as far as the research is concerned, Eco Expo, actually, we have a data set now for the water quality that we're going to build upon every year and tag that not only with our environmental studies course at the high school, but they have now received another grant, as mentioned in the packet, with them. And we're going to use that data to support that program in the future also.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, absolutely. Anything else?
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
We have one other speaker who is not only a teacher but also the parent of someone who's been involved in the program. You've heard about the opportunity. I think she can also speak in sort of a retrospect to the benefits that her children have realized.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
I'm Amy Bohannon Stewart. As you said, I'm a Matthews County resident, teacher in Matthews County, and I'm also a parent of a Matthews County student, and I live at 11150 Buckley Hall Road. Before I became a teacher, I have a background in water quality, and I'm a former VIMS employee. I have a bachelor's in biology and a master's in environmental toxicology, and I spent some time working at VIMS before I started teaching. And I'm excited with my background and as a parent and teacher to share more environmental education opportunities with my students. And so I'm very excited about the Land Conservancy's Williams Wharf Project. And I foresee lots of ties to my physical science SOLs. I teach eighth grade physical science. But I foresee long-term projects that I can take my students down there, maybe with a project they started in sixth or seventh grade. Lots of the other teachers are very excited about this project, too. And, you know, just the physical science SOLs that it ties to, I can see, you know, I've got to teach them about properties of matter, measuring things like length and, you know, rulers and things like that. But it'd be really nice for me to be able to take my students down there and measure oyster growth with maybe a project they started in sixth or seventh grade. And they can follow it through the years and measure them with calipers instead of rulers and get them out there on the water. Lots of these students, Ms. Welch mentioned that we have a larger disadvantaged population that's come about in the recent years. Most of these students don't live on the water. And so it would be a great opportunity to take them down there and provide them educational opportunities to educate them on how to take care of their environment, come to appreciate it, what's out there. I would love to get them to do water quality analyses, dissolved oxygen, pH, things like that. And I'm really excited about the opportunities for our building trade students at the high school. I teach about energy and insulating materials for heat, and he continues that on at the high school. And I'm excited for when my middle school students leave for them to be able to have that opportunity in high school to put some of the things I've taught them to good use. And I can also tie these energy-efficient buildings and things to my physical science SOLs as well. And finally, Ms. Welch mentioned that, you know, this would be nice. It's in our backyard. I feel in Matthews County we're kind of isolated. And it'd be nice to just take my students on a 5-minute bus ride down there to do this. And I hope this project moves forward as quickly as possible so my kids can start to see the benefits from this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you. Okay.
Thank you again for your audience. We're happy to answer questions whenever, but that's all we have for right now.
Okay. Thank you. Who wishes to speak in opposition to the project? Yes, sir.
Members of the commission, good morning. I'm current.
Solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Colonel Steve Wilson, U.S. Army retired, and I'm the adjacent property owner to the Williams Wharf project. I live at 992 Williams Wharf Road in Matthews. Last month, 8 of the freeholders who attended the meeting were prepared to speak in opposition. Unfortunately, I was the only one who spoke because I failed to ask for, and their chairman did not offer the opportunity for the others to speak. Over half of those in opposition who attended the meeting do not live on Williams Wharf Road. In fact, 29 of the 40 freeholders who signed the petition to review do not live on Williams Wharf Road. Since January of this year, well over 100 freeholders and citizens have signed 3 separate petitions objecting to this project, and these petitions are part of the record. The suggestion during the last commission meeting that only the neighbors object to the structure was inaccurate. And the subsequent statement by a commission member that the neighbors are going to have to deal with it did not take into account that the neighbors aren't the only ones who object to and have to deal with the proposed structure and the future private non-aquatic activities which will take place in that structure. The staff, Mr. Johnson, have done an admirable job of presenting our objections previously. My objections to the rowing center are a matter of record and remain unchanged. Today you will vote on the Conservancy's request for authorization to install an observation deck which will be attached to the rowing center and encroaches over 914 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom. The observation deck, like the rowing center, will provide a place for non-aquatic events to be held whenever the center is rented out for private activities and fundraisers, which will be more than the 12 to 14 per year that the Conservancy states will happen. The observation deck, we argue, is not water dependent and could be replaced by 2 gangways that allow the crew team members to access the 2 floating piers and therefore reduce the encroachment over the subaqueous bottom. That concludes my statement. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Who's next? Let me swear you in. You solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
Yes, I'm Dr. Linda Wilson. I live at 992 Williams Wharf Road, Matthews. First, let me thank the board for allowing me to speak today on the observation deck and the piers for the Williams Wharf project. 20 years in the making, that includes a boathouse for use by the Matthews Crew Programs, for educational programs by the Matthews Public Schools, and for commercial activities at Williams Wharf. An original site plan was presented to the county in July of 96. 10 years later, a final site plan was approved by Matthews Zoning and was valid for 5 years. The same J.W. Foreman design plans are in the Conservancy's 2012 JPA. Everything in these plans has pretty much remained the same, except that the 2006 approved building, with its 2 floating piers, has more than doubled in size, was previously positioned on land, whereas now it will be built over the wetlands and an observation deck encroaching over 914 square feet of subaqueous bottom land has been added. It is neither reasonable nor necessary and absolutely not water dependent that this observation deck be allowed for this rowing center. The wraparound observation deck does nothing but pose a greater threat to the creating water pollution and will certainly create a noise pollution problem at Williams Wharf. Since Williams Wharf is already under surveillance by the Department of Health's shellfish sanitation in the East River for increased water pollution because of its proposed expansion, and with the trade-off of wetlands for additional parking for this building, won't the stadium viewing area depicted in the Conservancy's JPA and in their 2012 Future of Williams Wharf brochure serve the community needs for all event-specific activities, to include regattas and educational programs? It would appear that the primary use of this observation deck will be for rented events. Never once has anyone, neighbors included, opposed or objected to the Matthews Crew programs or the proposed educational uses for this rowing center at Williams Wharf. However, the commercial activities of a 20,000-square-foot building that includes a wraparound observation deck far outweigh its educational uses or support of three annual crew regattas. It is not the location of this massive building serving community needs. It is the events or uses of this building that are serving the community needs. In conclusion, and for the record, almost 200 petitioners objected to this JPA because we believed local wetland boards and this commission were established to protect the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act, its watershed, and the 1972 Wetlands Act. The Virginia General Assembly designed the act to enhance water quality and still allow reasonable development to continue. The Bay Act balances state and local economic interest and water quality improvement. This observation deck serves none of these purposes by enhancing water quality or improving water quality. An observation deck that encroaches over 914 square feet of subaqueous bottomland cannot be considered reasonable development. When an organization like the Land Conservancy so abuses its natural resources by planning these past 20 years to build a structure so imposing that the small amount of land space it owns can't accommodate the needs for its use, any decision made by this commission today to allow an observation deck to surround this enormous building will set a dangerous precedent for the future protection of all coastal waters. Thank you.
And thank you. Any questions for Dr. Wilson? Mr. Erskine.
Yes, ma'am. Just to be clear, your opposition is with the boathouse in particular?
My opposition is with the size of the boathouse. The boathouse does not need to be this large. It is enormous. The previous plans, which were approved by Matthews County in 2006 and were valid until 2011, show a boathouse that is half the size. In fact, it ended right here. It was this right here, and this was these were the plans that were approved in 2006. This has all been added, including this, and I'm not sure why the observation area, which includes stadium viewing, is not here on this plan, but it was in the plan. And this is what I'm talking about as the alternative. The viewing area is for the regattas and so forth. The observation deck
It does not serve, I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't serve the building for the users.
So, a follow-up? So your observation is not with the, I mean, your opposition is not to the observation platform, it's to the boathouse?
It's to both.
To both? Okay.
Yes, I would have spoken last month in opposition to the size of the building. The amount of building that was encroaching over the wetland. But I am just one of 40 people who were here to speak for the same reason. Thank you.
Colonel Wilson, we're going to need to keep those charts that you've shown us for the record, just so you're aware.
And I would like that clarified before I leave, whether there is or isn't a viewing area as in their plan.
Okay. We'll get that clarified. Who else is here to speak in opposition? Anyone else? All right. Back to the applicant. Opportunity to... Can you clarify the points Dr. Wilson just raised?
Mr. Chairman, I think that probably the best person to clarify would be the president of the Matthews Land Conservancy,
okay.
Jim Smith. So if he may come up, answer your questions, and explain those issues, I'd appreciate that.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
James Smith. I live off of Williams Wharf Road, 103 Birchie Lane. I'm the president of the Land Conservancy, citizen of Matthews County, and I've been working on this project since the beginning, 20-some years ago. I can speak to Linda Wilson's questions. If you have specific questions, would you like to ask those first?
No, go ahead.
There is a viewing area on our site plan. It is in the area in front of the fixed pier. It's an elevated green space, tiered, so people, you've seen the picture, it's wall-to-wall people, shoulder-to-shoulder. When you stand directly behind somebody, you can't see anything. That's the problem with a lot of our events. Everybody crowds to the shoreline. They try to get tighter. They try to stand on something. So there's an area
here that has tiered spaces. It's still green. Grass planted where they can hear and see the regatta and any other event. If you want to go down there besides the regatta, you can view the waterfront. You can have a picnic. You can utilize that space. The site plan is submitted is technically to the request of the permit application, what we need to show for the permit itself. There's a lot of features on there that has upland lighting, septic, our well, you know, some other drainage that's needs to be incorporated in our overall site plan development that is not pertinent specific to this permit application. So that's why the drawings that are submitted show what are pertinent to the application itself. As far as site plans, yes, we've been at this for 20 years. We've had to submit several site plans based on regulations, based on funding, based on timing to get all the permits and all the items required to move the project forward, building code change. We bought a piece of property that was transferred to the county, then to us. We could not get a building design submitted for that piece of property, which is where the building sits now. When the county owned it, we could get a site plan with cooperation of the county, and they put a area designated for the building, which was basically the existing building footprint. That's why there's a building on the original site plan that she states from 1996. Once we were given title to that piece of property, then we were able to do a design on a building, come up with an actual building that we would be submitting to the building department for building permit, and that had to be incorporated in the site plan. So the evolution of the site plan is based on building code changes, you know, requirements by the county, requirements from your agency, requirements from the Wetlands Board. There's been several permitting processes that we've had to go through. So there is an evolution process and a site plan.
Any questions for Mr. Smith? Mike, could you do you have a slide of page 2-9 that shows a close up of the deck area? There. And that deck is about 26 feet by 87 feet. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
Yes, sir. This deck here is 87 feet across here. This deck here is 83 feet across here. And it's approximately 27 feet from here to here. I measured about 15 feet from mean low water out to the end of it.
A question for the applicant. Talk to us about why those dimensions. What's important about that?
If you want to take the floating pier side and the larger deck, which is this piece here, you have to come out of a building with a boat that can be 65 feet long. You have to get out to this point, then start going down a steep grade. So the boat has to be able to get out of the building, carried by individuals, and then tilted and down the gangway. We've shortened this to about as tight as we can. In fact, we took into consideration and we raised the roof height of the floor there that the boats are coming out of and increased the size of the garage door. So this piece of the deck, you notice the handicap entrance comes around the side, the rampway comes around the side into the building. So there's two ways for egress and ingress from the building with handicap access on this side, and then of course you have the front of the vestibule. The deck on this side, when the boats are launched from this particular direction, they go out, they do the race or they do the practice, then they're retrieved from this side of the building. They have to get the boats back around to launch again, or if there is a regatta or something where people bring their boats, they have to get around this side of the building to be able to turn, get down the floating dock on this particular side. They can't turn and come all the way around unless it's a single show. So the need for this dock and the length here is to be able to get down the gang or down the side of the building and out on the floating dock.
And the shells are
one picture with this, with all the regatta going on. You can see the magnitude of the size of the boats.
The shells are
the
what,
shells
65 feet.
The largest shell, I'm not saying that every shell is that, but the eight man rowing shell is 64 and a half feet long.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Stevens, does that wrap it up for you? Or?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it does. Thank you very much for your audience. This is a tremendous project that a lot of effort's gone into over the years. We've gone through, golly, probably 20 agencies, sometimes multiple times over the course of the year. The VMRC approval is virtually the last step before we can commence construction. Many, many efforts have happened over the years, and we appreciate all of your consideration.
Thank you. Matters before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask for VIMS's input on this? Have they had input on this project, and what is the position of VIMS, and possibly what is the environmental impact on the encroachment of the observation deck in particular?
Lyle Varnell, VIMS. Yes, we have had input through the years, beginning back in the late 80s, actually, when the site was just a relic industrial site. We've been aware of this project for many years through grants and such. Excuse me. If you're looking at what's in front of you today, it is the platforms over Subaqueous Bottom. Water quality has been mentioned. Well, the likelihood that these would affect water quality are carried through any structure that is built like this, marinas, piers, depends on the use. Directly, it can be affected by shading, which affects bottom chemistry. It's a very small area, so we don't suspect that that would be signaled here. So the water quality effects of this would only be from how it's used, not from its position in the landscape itself. And we've already weighed in on with the wetlands and such that have already been discussed.
So help kind of follow up.
Yes.
In the information we were handed out previously, it indicated that VIMS has maybe partnered in some of the educational work that's happened there. Is that a show of support for the programs, educational programs that may take place there, or how are we to interpret that?
Well, we respond when we are asked for educational input, and I'm assuming that's the NEARS program. I'm not aware of that personally at this point. We don't get involved in that part of that. However, as many of you know, we don't support or promote or protest any project. We respond in the ways that VIMS has normally responded. So if it is an educational project and the county has approached us or a nonprofit has approached us or anyone has approached us, we try to be responsive as a public agency for that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Well, would you put the slide of the pre and existing industrial era up there, just so we have that, have a little bit of a. There you go. And the one before that, Al, is. Yeah. Would you just leave that for a moment? Thank you. I would like to make a comment with regard to what the testimony we've heard today that makes me support this application. If we look at the history of the site, it's obviously an industrial site, probably. I would suspect that in its use as an oil and fuel depot, the environmental hazards were probably somewhat significant. But today, we don't have that before us. We don't have anything that would be environmentally significant, as far as I can tell, and we just heard from them the same thing. We see a public benefit to, according to the superintendent of schools, I think it was 1,140 students could possibly use the site in an area that is surrounded by water, but yet, as she also mentioned, very few students have access and experiences on the water. So I think the public benefits are considerable. I would further state that the sport itself and the viewing is necessary. We have to know who won the race. We have to participate in races. Teams look at other teams, I'm sure, and learn something from winners and losers. So to be able to observe the sport, I think, it makes it so this is a water-dependent structure. I couldn't really see it in any other way. I know it's something unusual for this commission. I don't think it's the first time we've seen something like this in my 7 years here. But it's, in my mind, a water-dependent structure. So having said all that, I would support a motion or make a motion to approve this project.
We have a motion to approve the project, and I assume that includes the staff-recommended royalty in the amount of $5,901?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Dr. Neal. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.